CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together this time of day, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church isn't even in the Bible at all. And so many things that are in the church today are based upon man's tradition, not upon God's word. Yet the Bible says God's going to hold us accountable for what is in God's word, not the traditions of men. So how important is it that we know what God's word says? So if you got a question, our number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN, and we're here for you to answer those questions. If someone's asked you something or you come across in the Bible something you don't understand, hey, that's why we're here. Call us. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker, Morning Times, A Chosen Generation. We have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you on this Thursday. Looking forward to another program and the great callers that call in to Every Man an Answer. Looking forward to their questions. They want to grow in the faith. They want to be blessed of the Lord. They want to just share their faith with others. You know, it's all about soul winning and discipleship. And that's the most important thing that we do as believers in Christ and share the love of God and His great salvation. You know, Mike, these are exciting days we're living as we look to this, what's been happening in Israel as well as with Russia and across the Middle East, and our president and our country and so forth. So even the disparity of socialism in New York City with this new mayor Mamdani, whatever his name is. So it's interesting times we're living in, but yet the Lord is faithful always, and He's always there to take care of us and to bless us. So, folks, we love to hear from you, and it's just exciting to be on with you. I've been gone for about 2 weeks, now back on the saddle again, and looking forward to sharing the faith with everyone with you, Mike.
Looking forward to being with you, too. And what are you teaching on this Sunday?
Well, you know, I'm debating right now. I just finished the book of Jude, so I'm deciding whether I want to teach the book of Revelation or pick another book of the Bible I'm thinking about, or just maybe some topical studies to get through the holidays, which might be likely what I'm going to do. And then we'll start the book of Revelation probably in January, in the beginning of the year. So that's always exciting to engage in the book of Revelation. So much fun and so much to be learned from that prophetic book.
Well, it's interesting because the Bible in the book of Revelation says that it's the revealing of who Jesus Christ is. A lot of people have bad concepts about spiritual things, whether it's heaven or who God is, who Jesus is. And so when we go back to the Bible, it'll tell us who He is. Now, a lot of people think, well, Jesus, He just loves the whole little lambs, and He's got this flowing blonde hair. He's a blue-eyed Irishman. I saw Him hanging in a Christian bookstore on the wall one time. Actually, when we really read what Jesus is really like in the Bible, we pick up a whole different picture. Oh, Jesus never gets angry. He always smiles at everybody. He's got these big, thick, rose-colored sunglasses on. Well, when we read in Revelation, that we get a lot different picture as the judgments of God break out on the earth. Now, right now, everybody, as an example, you know, we see a world that is in the hands of the devil. And again, oftentimes on our insurance policies, it'll say, or any other acts of God, like lightning bolts and hurricanes and earthquakes and et cetera. Well, the thing is, really, this is the devil's world. It was given to him in the garden back when man rebelled against God. God said, don't eat of the tree. Man went ahead and ate of the tree after Satan told him to. Who's your daddy? And this is why we have the problems globally that we have right now in the world. Now, one of the things that we find is that the book of Revelation is not the devil's handiwork on this earth. It is God bringing these judgments on the earth. And, you know, Daryl, I think that's so important because people oftentimes say, well, you know, why do you believe the church is not here during the tribulation period? Because what goes on right now is, I think, a direct result of the devil But when we move into the book of Revelation, this is God bringing a judgment on an unbelieving world and dealing with his nation of Israel, that final last 70th week of Daniel that we find in chapter 9. Now, again, God is not out to punish his church. Your thoughts?
Well, exactly. And the churches in these last days were to be the Church of Philadelphia, which we are. And why? What are the commendations for the Church of Philadelphia? Well, number one is we keep the Word of God. We believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We interpret it literally. There are many out there that say, well, God didn't really mean this. It's an allegory and all these different ideas they come up with. No, we start literally in the book of Genesis. We end literally in the book of Revelation. As you said, Mike, the book of Revelation is a powerful book. In fact, the very first chapter says, if you read and hear it, you're going to be a very blessed people. Unfortunately, too many pastors today, they don't like to touch the book of Revelation, but it's a very simple book. You just break it down. The first chapter is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then chapters 2 and 3, you have the future of the churches for when John wrote it. For us, much of it is history and the present day, and then the future of the Church of Laodicea, which is the harlot church that goes into the tribulation period, the false church. And then you have chapters 4 and 5, the church is found in heaven. We've been raptured up. We're in heaven. Every tribe, tongue, and nation is declaring the wonderful works of God and praise and adoration of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And very likely we could be having the marriage supper of the Lamb at that time. And during the 7 years of tribulation, the Antichrist takes over and makes a false covenant with Israel. This is Revelation 6 through 19. And then the wrath of God begins to be poured out upon a God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting world. And we know that at the midway point of the tribulation period of the 7 years, the 3.5-year point, the temple is going to be rebuilt. Then the Jews will start their offerings back to God. And then the Antichrist comes into the temple and stops their sacrifices unto God and to Yahweh. And then he declares the abomination of desolation. He blasphemes the God of Israel. He blasphemes the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And then he will also set up an image of himself that's going to, with AI nowadays, it's very simple to put an image of yourself up. And then he's going to institute the mark of the beast, 666, on the right hand of the forehead. Then you got the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, which he tells us to the very day. It'll be 1,260 days to the return of Christ once the abomination desolation takes place. Exactly, 1,260 days. So it's not dealing with the rapture at the end of the tribulation because no man knows the day or the hour. But for the rapture of the church, Church of Philadelphia, we keep the word of God. We will not deny his name. And Jesus says, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world, upon all those that dwell upon the earth. And we are in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of heaven now as children of God. And those of the earth are going to be going through the tribulation period. They're non-believers. So, Mike, exciting times ahead. And the book of Revelation is just a powerful, powerful book. You finish it off, Revelation 19, we get to return of the Lord. Chapter 20, you got 6 times the Lord says he's going to have a 1,000-year reign on this earth. He will reign and rule in righteousness. And we'll be reigning and ruling with him in our glorified bodies made for the heavens and the earth. And then 21, 22, we head off to the new heavens, the new earth, new Jerusalem. Of course, there's a great white throne judgment. All non-believers are cast to hell. And there you go. There's the book of Revelation in the capsule. Really quick, Mike.
Really? I that's very good. And, you know, a lot of people miss this. But, you know, the abomination which makes desolate, Jesus spoke about that. And he said, when that comes, don't even go back into your house to get your coat. Just run for the hills as quickly. Don't even go back to get your coat. That's how swift the retaliation against the Jewish people is going to be when they reject the Antichrist from being their Messiah. And of course, the Antichrist is not going to suffer global humiliation from the very nation that he was able to negotiate a peace treaty, most likely to build their temple. We find this in Daniel chapter 9, which actually is what starts the tribulation period. And so what I think is interesting is people that say, oh, replacement theology, Revelation happened in 70 AD. Well, there's a lot of horrible, glaring problems with that theology. Number one is that Jesus said, when the abomination which makes desolate takes place, run immediately. In 70 AD, when Titus came in against the city of Jerusalem for the rebellion against the Roman Empire, and Titus, this Roman general, was bent on destroying the city of Jerusalem and leveling it, it took months and months to do. It was not an immediate thing. But you know, when I read that, where this man declares to the world that he's God, they're from the temple in Jerusalem, and very possibly many people believe it is during actually the building, the temple's dedication. Because we know it's going to take a little bit of time for them to build their temple. They will restore sacrifices there. And that's great. That the Bible says they're going to do that. And then he makes them stop and declares to the world, he's God. Immediate retaliation up to the time of surface-to-air missiles and this kind of almost immediate delivery of weapons. I don't see how that would have been possible, not even to go back in to get your coat. But now I can see that I believe the Antichrist is going to be fully prepared. He may even have an aerial show overhead as this building dedication goes on. We don't know what it's going to be, but he's going to turn the tables on Israel. And Jesus said, run as fast as you can. Well, I'll tell you, we are living in some exciting times. And so why don't we go ahead and go to the phones? I believe we can try this. Michael on the line, Keller, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Yes. How are you guys doing?
Good. How may we help?
Oh, my question is, when Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I've been taught at my church that once I die, I open my eyes from this life to eternal life with Jesus in that moment. But what does it mean when the dead shall rise in Christ first and meet him in the air, and then those living here? If I'm with Jesus already, will I return to my old body and be risen? How does that work?
You're almost there, Michael. Some theology there for you. You know, the Bible tells us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The day you die is the day you open your eyes in heaven. But that's a spiritual place. Now, we know that as we rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years, we're going to get a new body. This old one at the moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the rapture, this corruption puts on incorruption. No more wrinkles, no more pain, no more sorrow. Our bodies are changed. The Bible also says those that have died in Christ come first. They rise first. And then those who are alive and remain, and we're all caught up to be with him in the air. And I believe this is where those saints that have died in faith, they're in heaven right now, receive their new glorious body. I believe there's nothing anybody is lacking in heaven right now because it's a spiritual place. But Paul says we know that when we see him, we're going to be like him. And I believe that we're going to get a body for that part of governing here on this earth with Christ for 1,000 years. I think the timing of it is very important because it's right before the church comes back to rule with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. And so we can't just be a spirit. We just can't be, you know, but I do believe we will get that body. And I believe those that are alive right now, when the rapture comes, your body's going to be transformed in faster than a blink, the Bible tells us, and never to worry about dying ever again. And some good things about this body, Paul says we're going to get a body like Jesus had. So imagine ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, being able to appear behind locked doors, being able to, it's going to be a different world, a different justice system than what we've all seen in the last 6,000 years. It's going to be completely different. No more injustice anymore. And so your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, as you just shared, Mike, when someone dies today as a believer, it's to be absent from body, present with the Lord. That was established back in the book of Acts, chapter 7, when Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church, was killed. At that point in time, the Bible says the heavens were open. Jesus stood up at the right hand of the Father, ready to receive him. So each and every one of us, if we die right now at this time in our life, you know, without going up in the rapture, then you'll find yourself meeting Jesus. He's the first one you're going to meet. Now, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. You'll be in heaven. But in the rapture, we're going to go up, as Mike just shared, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that this, we're going to go up in a, it says in a moment of time, which the Greek for that is a tomo, which is an atom of time, he says. We're going to be changed. It's a metamorphosis. We will receive immediately that glorified body as we meet the Lord in the air, and he will then take us to heaven. We'll be up there during the 7 years of tribulation. We'll be rejoicing with the Lord. And then we're going to return with him, Revelation 19 and 20. We're going to return with him at the end of the 1,000 year, at the end of the 7 year tribulation. We're going to return, and he will then take vengeance on his enemies at that time, those who take the mark of the beast and so forth. Then he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and he's going to reign and rule for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. We too will be reigning and ruling with him on this earth as believers in Christ in our glorified bodies, which will never grow old, never get sick, never sin. We're perfected forever and ever and ever, which is great news. Ultimately, we will find ourselves heading off to the new heavens, a new universe, and a new earth where righteousness dwells forever, and, of course, the new Jerusalem. That's Revelation 21 and 22. So as we look forward to this rapture that's going to take place. Now, with the thief on the cross, going back to your first statement, the thief on the cross, Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He wasn't taken immediately to heaven. He was taken to Abraham's bosom, because that's where people go until the resurrection of Christ. 3 days later, he rises from the dead, and then 40 days of walking the earth. And then he says, wait for the promise of the Father, 10 days. He ascends to heaven. At that point in time, when Jesus, rather, he ascended to heaven after 40 days, as he ascended, the Bible gives an interesting passage. He took captivity captive. He very likely took those in Abraham's bosom unto himself and brought them to heaven at that moment in time. That's a little debatable, but I think there's enough evidence for that. And so we discover that in Colossians, one of those other passages. So it's fascinating. So also the interesting thing, too, is really cool. When Jesus took the disciples, Peter, James, and John, took them up to the Mount of Transfiguration, there they were. And who appears to Jesus on that mount? Moses and Elijah, and they're recognizable. So they had not received their glorified bodies, but they're recognizable in that spirit realm of which they are. And thus, we're going to recognize one another as we're in heaven right now, if you die and go to heaven. And also in the rapture of the church, you're going to recognize one another, of course. So these are exciting times we're living in. We're waiting for that great trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel, and we'll meet the Lord in the air in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible declares. Paul says, this is a great mystery I'm going to share with you. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
New body. Boy, that sounds good, don't it, Daryl?
Yes.
You know, it's funny. The older you get, the more you're going to appreciate that new body that God's got for you. Michael, I hope that answers it for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. God bless. I love your work.
God is good, and he gets the glory. If you want to stay on the line, I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. You can use it for evangelism. If you need more, just let us know. Really handy little book for people, especially new believers. Again, 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be a part of the program today. I'd like to remind everybody, if you are in Kona, Hawaii, on the Big Island on the west side, I'll be speaking at the Kona Inn Fellowship in the Kona Inn Shopping Village this Sunday at 10 o'clock. And it's downtown. And you go through, and then out there, right alongside the ocean, is this big green lawn with tents on it. And the ocean's right there, right next to us. Great outdoor cathedral. And I just want to invite everybody, if you're in the area, I'd love to see you. That's this Sunday at the Kona Coast Fellowship in Kona Inn Shopping Village at 10 o'clock. And so that is this Sunday, the 16th. Again, 8888 Ask CSN. We understand that we have a station out up in Boise, Idaho, and there's several frequencies up there. You can try 95.7, 89.1, 99.3, or 90.3 up in that area, and we'll get it fixed. We promise we will. So, Daryl, going back to Revelation.
Yes.
Jesus said, when you begin to see these things in Matthew chapter 24, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I always think that is such an interesting thing, because I think we can see it. I think we can begin to see all these things, and it appears that the time is so close. Well, back to the phones we go. Daniel's on the line for us in Bakersfield, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello, I have a question. It was regarding where 1 Samuel 28, where Saul, I think he went to visit a medium and asked
yes.
for us. Okay, so I was told something like you can't speak to people from that are gone after us. So how did he speak to him? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like, are we able to talk to other? I know we're not able to speak to the dead because you know it's things
right.
demonic or what. So how?
Sure.
Can you give me some clarity on that?
I think the Witch of Endor was really a con, and she went through a little séance with Saul. And all of a sudden, God allowed Samuel to come back, only to rebuke Saul concerning his relationship with God. And when I look at this, I think it's important because when the witch at Endor, Saul saw Samuel, she screamed. Now, if this was a normal occurrence, I don't believe there would have been any screaming whatsoever. So I believe that it is. Number two, there are people that say, well, we don't really know if it was Saul. Well, the Bible says Samuel. The Bible says it was Samuel. So we can set that one aside. We know it really was Samuel. No, it was an imposter spirit. Doesn't say that. Don't add to God's word, I tell people. So important. It says it was Samuel. And Samuel told Saul, tomorrow you'll be with me. Not in Abraham's bosom necessarily, but in the place of the dead, in Sheol. Now remember, Sheol was divided into two compartments. The side of comfort, Abraham's bosom, and the side of torment awaiting the great white throne judgment that Jesus spoke of concerning the rich man and Lazarus. Your thoughts?
Well, exactly. And as you just shared that the Witch of Endor screamed, realizing something supernatural that was taking place. Now, God can do what he wants to do at any time he wants to do it. As I just shared the example of Moses and Elijah appearing to Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration. So for him to have Samuel appear would be no problem. And to rebuke, the whole thing was to rebuke Saul. When you look at the three great kings of Israel, King Saul had no heart for God. David had a whole heart for God. And King Solomon had half a heart for God. You see the differences between the three. And thus Solomon led the children of Israel into idolatry and false religious systems. It was an unfortunate thing because he started off so well, but then he ended horribly. So he had half a heart. David had the whole heart for God. And we're told that in the scriptures, he had a heart after God's own heart. And yet Saul had no heart for God. He was just about himself and his own fame, his own fortune, his own glory. And he's rebuked by this, by Samuel there at the Witch of Endor. And what is he doing? Seeking out a medium. I heard sometimes Christians, they want to go to a palm reader or a tarot card reader, you know, and so forth. Don't do that stuff. Are you kidding me? You don't need that. You have the Word of God. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. So stay away from mediums. Stay away from Ouija boards. Stay away from the New Age stuff and these different things that people get trapped into. And just follow the Lord. He's going to bless you and take care of you. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Michael, give it back to you.
Yeah. So I hope that answers it for you.
Yeah, that helped a lot. Just one more quick side note question. Horoscopes, is that like signs and stuff, is that also considered witchcraft?
Yes, it is. Because, you see, people will ask the question, you know, what's your sign? You know, what horoscope sign are you? A Leo, a Capricorn, you know, a boogie woogie. There's a lot of people just that are into that. Now, here's what's so false about it. And everybody remember this. If you run into somebody that's into astrology, you can disprove astrology so easily. Because take twins, for instance. You'll have two twins born seconds apart from each other. Yet you'll find completely different personalities in those two individuals. Let me tell you, the stars, moon, sun, cosmos didn't move around that much in the a couple of minutes between the children being born. So you know that that is bogus. Now, I always like what Chuck Missler said. He said, I have more respect for jetology than I do for astrology. And I asked him one time, I said, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, you know, if you're going to believe that something in the sky predicts your personality, what about the jets that are in the air when you're born as well, that have far more pull, far more influence than a star, you know, 50 billion light years away? So when you really look at it, you really realize how foolish it really is, and that God is the one that made our design. God is the one that put in us. We don't make who we are, everyone. We discover who we are. And I think that's one of the great misnomers of life, is that we're going to make who we are. You discover who you are. That's why you have natural abilities. I know people that pick up a guitar and in 1 week can play songs and they know chords. And I know other people will have 2-5 years of guitar lessons and still it doesn't sound good. Why is that? Because we have different propensities for different things. We discover who we are. And that's why it's important that you have a relationship with God who helps you through this discovery process as we endeavor to know, who am I? I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by God's grace. And once I'm saved by God's grace, he begins to reveal to us why he put us on this earth. Daniel, we're going to come back on the other side of the break. And so we don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more to Every Man an Answer coming up right after this. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. But what's more, MediShare members like it. We know this from member surveys. They like it a lot. It's a proven thing now. MediShare has been around for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing, too. If you join before November 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they will waive your application fee. So you save $100 right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. Again, the deadline is November 15th, so call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. He's the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Honolulu, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And again, I thank you, Daryl, for taking part of your very busy day. You have a very large church, and I appreciate you coming and answering some questions with us. When we went to the break, we had Daniel on the line in Bakersfield. About asking about the Witch of Endor. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to that?
No, we've kind of covered the topic, but I will say this, folks, just don't get caught up in astrology and horoscopes and all the other mumbo jumbo. Just get into the precious word of God, as he has so many promises for us, so many blessings for us. As we study the word of God, it is also a book of spiritual warfare that we learn and grow in. We battle against the enemy. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the lower heavens and so forth. And we need the word of God and know how to use it and how to be blessed by it and to experience all that God has for us. You were mentioning something earlier, Mike, and I was thinking about what was said about some people get attracted to all these crazy things. How did God create us in the beginning? Let us make man into our image. God is love, God is light, and God is life, if you could sum it up that way. And when we sinned in the Garden of Eden, we blew the whole thing away, and we just became a very evil and decadent person, perverted in all kinds of ways, depending on how evil people want to become. And when we become born again, what does God want to do? Is we're born again of the Holy Spirit. He wants to turn us into his image, which is God is love, God is light, God is life. He wants us to bring that into this world of God's glorious salvation as well as everlasting life, his light, meaning righteousness, and experiences agape love, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbors, ourselves. This is the great work of God in every believer's life, and you don't need all the other mumbo-jumbo out there in the world. So, Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, and something else I think, Daniel, very important. Yes, it is prohibited in Scripture to try to contact the dead. But we know that Saul was an extremely backslid, non-God relationship mentality. And he was doing a lot of very bad things, according to Scripture. He was going all over Israel, erecting monuments to himself. And I think this is just one more of the indicators just how far Saul had fallen from any kind of a relationship with God. And it's really tragic because he started off a humble guy and then it went to his head. Daniel, I hope that helps.
Yes, it helped a lot. Thank you guys very much for the input on that. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Daniel. Stay in line if you like. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. If you need more, let us know. With that, we'll go to David in Springwater, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir. I was calling about Genesis 9:22, I believe, where Noah's drunk and Ham comes across him, anyhow, sees him naked. And he walks out and tells his brothers, and his brothers back up and cover him. I was just wondering if when Noah found out about it, well, he cursed his son Canaan. I was just wondering if he did that because Ham saw him naked and did nothing about it and went and told his brothers, or if it's because if it was because he didn't do anything about it, or if it's because he saw him.
I think all three. I think that's a very good observation. I think this is why it made Noah so angry. And I think this is a good place in Scripture that we all need to look at. You know, here Noah had just literally saved the world because of the ark and everything like that. And what is interesting is Ham exploits his father's weakness. Now, some people wonder if the decay rate had changed from the Old Testament, or excuse me, pre-flood to post-flood. And that's a very possibility that Noah may not have realized how alcohol content had changed between the old world and the new world. Some people have actually suggested that. And so in most traditions globally, looking upon a person's nakedness is a profane thing. And so he saw his father that way, not wanting to do anything about it, but rather being a talebearer, if you will. Hey, you know, Pops is stoned in the, you know, in his room. And so they went in, his two other brothers went in and covered him. You know, there's a lot of discussion on this, because of you know, that he would be a slave to slave, and, you know, people automatically try to make him something other than what I think he was just, I think Noel was just simply saying, hey, listen, that kind of attitude, when you try to exploit somebody else's weakness, will always lead you into slavery. Now, when we look at this today, there's a lot of ministries that are out there. They're not really ministries at all. They're fault-finding Goomba heads. But they just almost seem to specialize in finding something wrong with Christians that are trying to do something for God. Noah did something for God. He goofed up. And instead of, as the Bible said, love covers a multitude of sins, no, we're going to exploit it. I'm going to tell anybody I can find. Well, there wasn't a lot of people, so he told his two other brothers. Instead of showing love and covering his father over. Your thoughts?
Well, exactly. And some have even said that he may have mockingly made fun of his father at that time, which would be dishonoring your parents, right?
Yeah.
No, the law was not given yet. But it's important to realize that something went very, very awry. And the other two sons said, you know what? They walked backwards with a blanket and they covered him up instead of looking at their father's nakedness. So there's a division between the two, one doing the righteous thing, covering their father up, and the other was mocking the father or revealing the father, which is Noah. So it's important to realize, too, that there's many times people you'll discover that they did some type of sin. And the question is, are we going to spread it about the body of Christ and be rumor mongers and so forth and share about that brother or sister's sin? Or will we cover that sin, realize that's private and that belongs between them and the Lord and they need to take care of it with God and hopefully they will. And we're not going to be just speaking evil or badly of another brother or sister in Christ. It's very important that we really watch over each other, protect each other, and be there for one another to encourage and to also to restore. Restoration is so vitally important. When you hear someone's fallen into sin, you want to restore them in godliness and in love and in grace. So important stuff there for us to realize. So that's best I could do on that one, Mike.
Yeah, amen. David, I hope that helps.
That does. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and God bless you guys.
Blessings to you, David. If you like, stay online, like I say, and I'll send you out a little book called Time to Grow. If you need more, let us know. 8888 Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We're going to go to Debbie in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good. How may we help?
Well, you were talking earlier about when Jesus comes back, that we will be with him on earth. But is there going to be any earth left? Because from what I understand, during the tribulation, that there's going to be earthquakes and there's going to be wars and there's going to be all kinds of things. So how much of the earth will actually be here, or will there be a new earth?
Well, that's a great observation, Debbie. And the Bible says he makes all things new. He restores the earth back. Very similar to what I believe it was in the Garden of Eden. And I think that's really important because the Bible says, unless those days were shortened, speaking of the tribulation period, nobody on earth would be left alive. So much for the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Eh, Daryl?
Hey, and no doubt about it. You know, the Bible says that the mountain ranges are going to be leveled. So these mountain ranges that we see today, they're all going to be leveled. The islands are going to be removed. So if you're not saved on these Hawaiian islands, you best get saved before. If you don't go up in the rapture, you better get saved. Because these islands are going to be moved out of their positions and very likely not be here in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Because the earth is going to go through tremendous upheaval, much like the time of Noah and so forth. These tremendous earthquakes, volcanic activity is going to be taking place, ash into the skies, the atmosphere, and so forth. It's going to be just a horrible place to be during those, especially the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, which is commonly called the Great Tribulation. So we realize these things. As we realize these things, it's best to get saved today and don't wait another minute. But I believe, like Mike believes too, because when you read the scriptures and the major or minor prophets of the Old Testament, it talks about the earth being completely rejuvenated and much like the Garden of Eden. So it's going to be beautiful. Of course, Christ is going to reign and rule from Jerusalem, and he doesn't reign over a chaos of a mess. He's going to reign over something that's beautiful and incredible. and the lush vegetation is all going to come back. The oceans are going to come back with life in them and so forth. All these things are going to take place because the Lord of all creation is going to be reigning and ruling on planet Earth. And it's going to be fantastic. We're going to love it. It's going to be great. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, and I really believe this is an important part to understand as he makes all things new and restores the earth from the decimation of what man did to this earth. And certainly we see that, and of course, just the description of the Battle of Armageddon there in the Valley of Megiddo in Israel shows that the blood, is splashing as high as the horse's bridle. I mean, it's going to be carnage of unbelievable magnitude. Every living thing in the sea has died. All the trees, the grasses are burnt up. Drinking water's in short supply. You look and you realize that God is going to have to make all things new. Now, this is a little caveat on the side. We have an Ezekiel 38-39 war where the Arab nations, coupled with Russia, come against Israel in the last days, but before the tribulation. And here's why. Because in Ezekiel 39, it says that Israel will be burning the weapons for 7 years. Now, imagine all the 55-gallon drums of diesel fuel and buttstocks off all these AK-47s and who knows what else they're going to be using, the Bible says, for fuel. They're not going to go cut trees down. There's going to be such an ample supply of this weaponry that was brought against them that they turn around and use. Now, I don't believe that Israel or Jesus is going to allow this dirty old smoke stuff burning into the millennial reign. It says they'll be burning it for 7 years. The tribulation's only 7 years long. So if the Ezekiel 38-39 war is like in the second year of the tribulation period, that means they're going to be burning this junk 2 years into the millennial reign of Christ. And we know that's not going to be the case. So I look for the Ezekiel 38-39 war to be really any time. We remember the rapture of the church does not start the tribulation period. That's very important to remember. What starts the tribulation period is a treaty signed with Israel found in Daniel chapter 9. That's what starts this last week or 7 year period of time determined upon the nation of Israel, and all things are fulfilled. Debbie, I hope that helps.
I've got one other question.
Okay.
I have heard that you can lose your salvation, and I have been looking through my Bible. I don't see anywhere, I can't find scripture to base that on.
Well, there's a lot. if you go to Matthew chapter 24, the last seven verses, it says there's a guy, he says, my Lord delays his coming. He eats and drinks with the drunken. He beats his fellow man. The Bible says the Lord of that servant. Now, we know the Lord is not the Lord of every servant. The Lord of that servant will come when he's not expecting him, probably because he's drunk. And by the way, it says he eats and drinks, beats his fellow man. He's a violent drunk. He'll get his portion with the hypocrites where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not heaven. That is hell. Everywhere in the Bible where you find that description, it is not speaking of heaven. You find Jesus himself saying this in Revelation chapter 3 to one of the churches. He said, if you don't repent, he says, and the whole context there in Rev 3 is concerning a church that doesn't want to repent, and if they do repent, I won't blot your name out of the book of life. Now, Jesus said that. I'm not going to say that. You know, Chuck Smith always said, and I always appreciate his commentary on the Bible, because he said there's enough verses, even in the book of Jude alone, that says these happen for our examples. Now, some people say, well, they were never saved in the first place. Well, then how do you get your name blotted out of the book of life if it was never in there in the first place? And we also find it again in Revelation chapter 22 about bad teachers that come along changing what the book of Revelation says It says they'll get their name blotted out of the book of life. Well, then I've had people say, well, everybody's name is in the book of life. Oh, really? So the idea then of original sin is not true. That we're all born good, but then we do something, you know, and 2 years old, steal a package of cookies, you know, okay. Now we're sinners. No, the Bible says we inherited an old sin nature. We are all sinners under that inherited nature from Adam. And so to be in the book of life, you have to be born again. And no matter how you got your name in the book of life, Jesus said two times in Revelation, it could be blotted out. Now, again, he says, and I won't blot your name out of the book of life. That is the prerequisite on that is that you repent. I've had people say, oh, look, see, he won't blot your name out of the book of life. No, go back. I tell people and spend some time in third grade English and you'll see that that is predicated upon repentance. Revelation 22, however, just says you tamper with this book, you will get your name blotted out of the book of life. Wow, that's pretty severe judgment for that. And really, honestly, that's what all of the Bible is about. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as an example. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, not a brothel, not a bar. He's writing to the church. And this is what he says. Do not be deceived. Isn't that weird that he says, don't be deceived? Evidently, there was somebody coming in there trying to deceive him. Well, he said, these people that have these lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He said, don't be deceived. You Christians, don't be deceived. If you hold these lifestyles, you're not going to heaven. So I want to be real careful when I say that. And the idea that, well, they were never saved in the first place. The problem with this, and this is what Chuck Smith always said, then how did you get your name in the book of life if you were never saved in the first place? You had to be saved at some point to get it in there. Now, very quickly, this is not concerning works. This is concerning faith. Jesus said it like this, if you abide in me. Well, I think that's really important. The book of Jude, now he was able to keep you from falling. And something else Chuck always used to say is he said, God is able to keep us from falling, but the rest of the chapter deals with, are you willing to let God keep you from falling? So there has to be a willingness on our part. We find another place, and we find this in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. Very clearly, he walked with the Lord, and he was gone. However, in 1 Timothy, he was bragging what a wonderful brother in the Lord Demas was. So I want to take my relationship with God seriously. I never worry about whether I'm saved today or not, because I live in Christ. That's the whole reason for me being what I am and doing what I do. So I don't think we ever have to worry about, because I don't believe anybody will ever pluck you out of the hands of God. But based upon the rest of the Bible, it seems that you can take yourself out as Demas did there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we would never want you to think that you're on a thin sheet of ice over the flames of hell and you're going to crack and you're going to slip off and go into the flames of hell. You're secure in your salvation in Jesus Christ. You ask him to be your Lord and Savior. You're saved. You're born again of the Holy Spirit. However, people talk about losing your salvation. You can't lose it. You can leave it. That's the difference. You leave your salvation. You go back into the ways of the world, and you leave the Lord. You don't want anything to do with the Lord. In fact, it says in the last days, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed in the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's speaking of the Antichrist to come. But the Bible says in the last day there's going to be a great falling away. The Greek word is apostasia. It's known as an apostate, one who leaves the Lord. We also discovered the Last Days Church, the Church of Laodicea, which Mike spoke about. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, I believe it starts with verse 14. Jesus says this, "I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, you make me sick, and I will vomit you out of my mouth." In fact, that church is so separated from the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus, at the end of that conclusion of the statement in regards to the Church of Laodicea, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door of their heart, I will come into them, and I will sup with them." They've literally kicked Jesus out of the church, which is supposed to be a Christian church. He's knocking on the door of that church. And people have so little to do with Christ, they've become so much a part of the world, as that Church of Laodicea is, they are apostate. They have left the faith. They're no longer in the faith. Just like the one that says, "Lord, Lord, did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not do miracles in your name?" And Jesus says, "I never knew you. You that work lawlessness, you that practice lawlessness, you lived against the laws of God, but yet you used my name, and you said you were doing these things, but you really weren't." See, that's a false believer. We call them make believers or false prophets or false teachers. And there are many amongst us today, and we have to be careful. So just stay in the Word of God, stay in the love of God, and let the grace of God carry you on in all things. Mike?
Amen. And so, Debbie, just to summarize very quickly, I think that's what the whole book of Jude is about. In fact, honestly, I've been a Christian for half a century or more. If it's not about this topic, I really honestly haven't a clue what the book of Jude is about. Because it starts off and it says, God, having saved the entire group of people out of Egypt, let them all die in the wilderness because they rejected his promises. So this is why I tell people, you want to take your relationship with God seriously. And I don't believe, again, just as you said, Daryl, so important. We don't lose our salvation. We leave our salvation, just as Demas mentions it. Paul said that he did. If I lose my car keys, I don't know where they are, and I can spend an entire year looking for them. But if I leave my car keys on the table, I know where they are. I just choose not to pick them up. And so there's a big difference. And I don't believe we ever lose our salvation. But it's very clear in Scripture, again, whether you're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, the book of Jude, the address to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, I believe that all the way through the Bible, the book of James, when you look at all these verses that point to something, we still need to take our relationship with God seriously and not just write it off as, well, sloppy agape, I'll do what I want. God's going to have to love me the way I am. But there's a repentance that's involved, and we all know that. Hope that helps.
Yes, it does. I really appreciate it so much. That helps me a lot.
Yeah, it isn't that we ever worry about that if you're in Christ. Now, you know, Jesus said this, and this is important. Let's add a little bit more to it. It isn't Mike. This isn't Mike or Daryl. This is Jesus, okay? He said, concerning the rapture, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. Your Lord is going to come. Watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord is going to come. If it doesn't make any difference, you know, this idea of, well, I'll just live, you know, I walked an aisle, thank God. If it doesn't make any difference, then why did Jesus say this to the church? Was it just the shuck and jive? And where does Paul or anybody in the New Testament get off trying to correct Christians since, well, you know, once saved, always saved, you know, you're okay. What's this compelling to walk worthy of our calling and the rest of the New Testament? Why don't we just have John 3:16 in the New Testament? That's the only thing that's in there, and the rest is all going to figure it out. So I have to look at the entirety of God's Word, and unfortunately, many people just look at verses that support an idea or a theology. I don't believe it's easy to get out of God's hand. I think God will do everything he can do to get us. But remember, the prodigal son, if he would have died in the pigsty, he would have died in the pigsty. It's only when he decided to come home that his father ran, put a robe on him, put shoes on his feet, a ring on his finger, and welcomed him home. See, it's always better with Jesus than anywhere else. And with that, we are out of time. Henry, in Las Vegas, please call us. We want to talk about this. It's very important about your granddaughter's baptism. We want to talk about this tomorrow. Daryl, thank you for being on.
Thank you. God bless.
Look forward to being back with all of you. So until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Stay on the line if you like, and we'll send you out some books and DVDs. Until then, God bless you, and good night.
83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.